Welcome to Smith Weekly Discussions, an occasional program for our members of Smith Weekly Research. Please note this program is a private discussion, and everything contained herein is for entertainment and educational purposes only. With that, we hope you're in a comfortable position, along with your favorite beverage, to enjoy the discussion. We remind our audience to examine our show notes attached to each of our shows to better understand how our program functions. Before we get into our discussion, we want to say thanks for questions coming from our audience at Smith Weekly, including Luke A., Jared W., Gordon S., and Jackie A. There is a returning guest on the program today. Adrian O'Brien is with us. Adrian is the Director of Marketing at Midnight Sun Mining, a Zambia-focused copper exploration company that is progressing the Solwezi Copper Project, which has a number of exploration targets, including Dumwa, Mitu, Kazabi, and others. Midnight Sun Mining is listed on the Toronto Venture Exchange under the symbol MMA, as well as on the U.S. OTC markets under the symbol MDNGF. Adrian, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Andrew. Absolute pleasure to be back as usual.
Good to talk to you again, Adrian. Well, why don't we jump right to some recent news that just came out. I appreciate you being able to accommodate us to come on and talk about that. The company announced an earn-in joint venture partnership with Cobalt Metals, specifically on the Dumwa exploration target. Talk about that deal and talk about the importance of that.
You know, I mean, this deal is, it's really important. You know, I think people are starting to realize that this is a sea change happening, and you're seeing a couple of unique things. So just a little bit of detail on Cobalt. You know, Cobalt is a bit of a unique situation. They're a new player. They're not a group that, you know, they're certainly getting out there now. I think they have 60 projects actively around the world. They're a US-based company, but they're using traditional geoscience in combination with artificial intelligence, proprietary analytical tools, new novel technology, where they are analyzing data an ongoing basis through each step of the exploration process. And the upshot of this is they think that they can develop projects 3 to 4 times as quickly as companies typically would. And I think that is a massive hurdle for the mining sector, the exploration sector, in that the development phase of projects is, let's face it, extremely slow, right? You compare it to all the other things that are out there from an investment perspective, mining moves very slowly. Projects can take 3, 5, 10 years to come to fruition or to get to a point where, you know, they start to reach peak valuation. And if you can accomplish that in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, that's a whole different story. And so what you're seeing here is bleeding edge technology in the mining space coming in, and they're backed by some of the biggest investors in the world, like Bill Gates, and Bill Gates has this fund called the Breakthrough Energy Ventures Fund, which he started, and the whole idea there is to go after advanced technology. They've got Anderson Horowitz, they've got T. Rowe Price. I mean, they really have a roster of investors. And then, of course, Breakthrough Energy Ventures has some really big name financial people behind it too. But what you're seeing is Silicon Valley coming into the mining space, which, to be perfectly blunt with you, 25 years on in my career, I never thought I would see it. Here it is, and it happens to be a company that we're moving forward. So very important deal. The deal itself is $15 million in exploration over 4.5 years. And that is all allocated to just one target on our property, which is called Dumwa. And if you remember, our project is split up into 4 pieces, 4 separate big system targets. When I say a big system target, we're talking something that in the area, a big developed system is 1 billion tons of ore. And so if we can find more than one of those on our property, we think there's a shot anyways. We do have 4 targets that each have the potential for that. And Dumwa is one of those. And so they're spending $15 million in exploration at Dumwa over the next 4.5 years. And there's a cash component as well. It's $500,000 over that same duration of time. It's an aggressive deal for just one target, and we're going to find out what's at Dumwa.
I want to talk more detailed stuff in a moment on the deal itself for Dumwa. It certainly sounds promising. I mean, this is definitely a new group, at least in my view. I'm sure they have some good experienced people there that do have a good time in the sector. I haven't looked at all of them. Technology application here is interesting because we've seen throughout the years, more recently, obviously Ivanhoe Mines has some proprietary technology that they use as they advance their projects and the various technology being promoted, I suppose, through these different groups. And certainly some big hitters. I would say there's probably no shortage of money over there. As far as how you guys looked at this deal, you know, do you see that this is the start of a lot more interest in Zambia? Is this particular deal, do you see that there's going to be more interest on your guys' targets? You know, just talk about why it was Dumwa for them, the money involved there. You know, it seems like it's maybe a test or maybe a smaller sum of money to get started. Just talk about how you see the transaction. Obviously, for Midnight Sun, it's a big deal. But for them, it's a fairly small capital investment. But just talk about how you see the approach and how you guys selected Dumwa.
For sure. Now, I think when you look at the targets, so you've got Kaziba up to the northwest, you've got Crunch kind of in the center on the west flank of our property, you've got Mitu down to the southwest, and then Dumwa on the southeast. All of these are located, like, we're right next to Kansanshi, First Quantum's Kansanshi mine, which is Africa's top copper producer. This region, the Domes region, there's a couple of different things you want to really look at here, because there is a bigger, I think, a bigger regional play happening. I think that this is becoming kind of the hotbed of copper exploration for big copper deposits, and there's a couple of reasons why. First of all, we know there's a world shortage of copper, right? We know that we're coming into this copper super cycle, if that's the right term, where there is going to be unprecedented demand on copper that, like, we've never seen it before. And that's going to go on for 10, 20 years. And it's all for electrification. But the reality is there are so few deposits coming on stream in the world right now that are big enough and can be moved to production quickly enough that they're going to have an impact on that shortage. And when you look at copper porphyry deposits, all low-hanging fruit's been picked. And the deposits they're finding now are deep and they're difficult and they come with massive, massive capex. And so if that's what you're dealing with in other jurisdictions, you have to think about where can you move a project from discovery to development to production in the quickest time frame, and where can you find something big enough to have material impact on the global shortage of copper? And there are very, very few areas in the world that could actually do that. This is probably the best one in the sense that nearly every copper deposit in this region is 1 billion tons. You know, like, just to rattle off the examples, you have First Quantum Sentinel Mines, 1 billion tons at 0.51% copper. You've got Barrick's Lumwana mine, which is their flagship copper project. It's right next to us on the west side of our property. That's 1 billion tons at 0.55 copper. Then you've got Kansanshi, that's 1 billion tons at 0.66. Then you have Friedland's Kamoa Kakula. Like, Ivanhoe's been working on this thing, it's a monster. It's 585 million tons at 2.9% copper or something. I mean, it's astronomical. And then you have Tenke, which is in that range as well. And so, you know, this is one of the only spots on the globe where the prize is basically set, the bar is set at 1 billion tons. And so those are big enough, they're gonna have material impact. They're also open pit. So they're quick, they're relatively easy to develop, and the capex is developable. I mean, it's not something that you're going to get stuck on because it's $2 billion and a small company can't do it. The other side of this is for a company like ourselves, a more junior company, we're not waving our arms about building a mine. We don't have a plan of building a mine. Most likely, feed from our mine would go to one of the others in the area. And maybe it is a standalone. Maybe Dumwa will turn out to be big enough that it's a standalone mine, but we're not going to be the ones to build it. Someone else can come in and do that. And maybe it's Kobold, somebody that, you know, they bring to the table, or maybe it's one of the other regional players. I do think regional consolidation is a piece of what's going to happen in this region. But, you know, I think that is really where it sits today. This is an absolute hotbed of exploration activity, but there is really not a lot of players in the area. It's an area dominated by majors. And we happen to be one of the only groups that are in there with probably the most critical piece of ground in the belt right now.
Very good little setup here. And I think that the deal confirms that there's definitely interest here, and there's almost no juniors. There's not very many juniors in this particular area. With what results you guys do have on the project, how do you see the transaction playing out here in terms of, obviously, it needs to get closed up? Talk about just how you see the schedule on this transaction going. They'll start work this year. How you see the schedule there for them to get going?
So they are going to start work this year. The plan from a drilling perspective and an exploration perspective is very aggressive from Cobalt's side. Just to wrap something into this, I just want to mention the geological team they put together, because I think it's a really important part of this story, and it plays into what you're asking. In this region and in SEDEX copper deposits, which is what these are, they're not porphyries, they're all big SEDEX deposits, sediment-hosted copper deposits. Probably the top guy in the world, he's a super humble individual and would probably squirm being called one of the top guys in the world, but the reality is he is. His name is David Broughton, and he is the geologist that Cobalt has hired to run this program and to manage their sort of chief geology of their copper unit, if you will. He is running the program at Dumbwa, and David he's absolutely phenomenal at SEDEX Copper. He found Kansanshi and headed up the development team at First Quantum's Kansanshi mine. And he also headed up the discovery team for Ivanhoe at Kamoa-Kakula. And so you can point to the two biggest discoveries in the region and basically say, well, that David was the guy leading the way. And so they're putting that expertise to work at Dumbwa. David has built a team around himself that is literally the who's who of SEDEX Copper. He has built an incredible team, brought all the best and brightest minds on board, and now they're putting their expertise to work at Dumbwa. And so they've established a plan. The starting point is going to be 2,000 meters of drilling. They're going to kick that off as quickly as possible. It is a rainy season in Zambia right now, but the rainy season's relatively short. And it's not that they get a lot of rain per day, but it's that the rain has a really harsh effect on the ground. It turns it into a really big, sticky mess that you can't roll a drill rig through. It's really difficult to work in that sense. And so we're putting that off until the rainy season comes to a close here in the next, let's call it 6 weeks or so. And then they're going to mobilize and they're going to start drilling right away. And the initial drilling program is 2,000 meters, but that's minimum. Very well could increase that. It'll be up to them, but they're going to run this thing and they're going to step forward. And then, coming on the heels of that, this is just quick and aggressive, and they want to move on this and drill it off as quickly as possible. They're going to be out there putting the drills to work. And, we had done most of the preliminary work. So this is really a drilling story now.
Be good to see them come out and test this out here. You guys obviously will have a good chunk of the upside anyway on that if there is success. The total time of the earn-in, can you cover that off here? And how do you expect that to accelerate? With success, hopefully soon, you would expect that to probably pick up pace. But just talk about the baseline. I guess with that, we probably should talk capital structure, Adrian, in the sense that this deal results in a small sum of cash for Midnight Sun. Obviously, Midnight Sun will need additional cash to continue.
In terms of the earn-in itself, so it's $15 million in exploration over the next 4.5 years. One interesting aspect of the deal is that Cobalt does not earn any percentage in the property until the entire earn-in is completed. So they have to spend the whole $15 million. They have to complete that. They have to make the cash payments in order to get their percentage, but it's an all or nothing situation. I think that speaks to their commitment to the project and their commitment to seeing it through. $15 million is going to get you an answer at Dumbwa. You're going to know if there's a billion ton copper system there. Maybe it won't be completely drilled off, but you're going to know if you have a big SEDEX system on your hands. I think it's in their best interest to move this thing forward. I have no doubt they're going to be aggressive in their exploration plans. Actually, over the next couple of weeks, they're going to be showing us what their actual plan is in full detail. We're really excited. We've been working on that. And of course, they've been compiling data and analyzing data now for quite a while. And in particular, this target that they're working on is exceptional. It's a 20-kilometer long soil anomaly. We have peak values there of 0.73% copper. And just to put that in perspective, the average grade of copper mined across the Domes region is around 0.59% copper, give or take. They're getting 0.73% copper in soils, which, these things are covered completely. That's really phenomenal. That's a really great copper number in soil. And it's the only spot on the property that we have any bedrock exposure. And when we see that little bit of bedrock, it's basically massive bornite and chalcocite. So it's the right material. It's the right place and the right thing. So, you know, moving forward and getting that going, we're going to have a nice aggressive approach driven by the best team in the business. Now, as far as our own capital structure, we do need to raise money. Absolutely. We're in a position now where this big material transaction is announced. It's out there. We're back in a position to raise money, and Midnight Sun needs to go do that. So we're in the midst of putting a financing together as we speak. And then the plan is to do two things. We have a really interesting business case on our property outside of our sediment-hosted copper system targets. We have oxides across our property, and we're putting together an oxide resource, and that oxide resource would be destined for a local producer. The goal would be to, you know, the oxide material is all at surface. It's all shallow, very easy, very cheap to drill. But there could be a huge case there from an economic standpoint to getting an oxide resource production ready to satisfy the needs of another local producer. And so we're putting that together. So that'll be one of the first things out of the gate for us to do, to do enough drilling to build up, let's call it a 50 million ton resource at 0.3% copper. And then we're going to look at these other targets, Kaziba, Me2, and Crunch. And we're going to look at how we finance those moving forward, whether we bring another group in or whether we go it alone and raise the necessary amount of capital to attack those independently. I think that's the perfect situation. And really what we've done with this Dumbwa deal is we've left a massive amount of blue sky for our shareholders by not giving away the entire project. We kept it specific to Dumbwa, which gives us three more opportunities at a big sediment-hosted copper system on our own, and the oxide copper business case on top of that. So there's a lot of blue sky there, and but we need to raise money. We're looking at different options for that right now, and we'll make an announcement on it very shortly.
That sounds good, Adrian. I think there's a couple interesting things to point out, and I want to get your thoughts on how you guys have cut this up a little bit in terms of prospectivity. The all or nothing approach, I think, is good. And I think that certainly works in your guys' favor. This was set up for Dumbwa. Obviously, it's my assumption that they took a look at all the data prior to focusing on Dumbwa. But the other targets that are left here for the company to deal with at their discretion speak to the prospectivity of those other things, and maybe why, and this might be speculation, you may not be able to say anything, but why Cobalt specifically took Dumbwa over the others?
I can address it really directly. I mean, basically, all four of the targets that we have are really highly prospective. Okay, we have geochem, we have geophysics, we have drill results, we have sampling. I mean, there are very viable targets at Kaziba, Me2, and Crunch. Crunch has the biggest EM anomaly on the property. Me2 has fantastic grades in drilling. Kaziba has great grades in drilling, and they all have oxides. So they all have great geology. They all have the makings of a fantastic target. What made Dumbwa unique was this anomaly, this 20-kilometer long anomaly that was somewhat well-known in terms of the work we had done and some previous work done by MMR, who had the property at one point. And this anomaly, what really got everyone's attention is that another operator to the south of us, which is a major, made a discovery hole 2 years ago. They drilled a discovery hole, but they drilled the discovery hole on our property boundary and made it really clear. You know, this is a small area. This is an area where word travels relatively quickly and everybody works fairly closely. And word got out that this discovery hole had been hit, but it was also made very clear that that discovery hole was the tail of something on our property. That got everyone's attention, and that started the ball rolling and brought a number of groups to the table about a year ago. And so, you know, when you look at what was chosen as the target to move forward on, because it was generated by an external discovery hole, and then there's all this, you know, fantastic information on our property that points to something going on there, it's pretty obvious as to why that was selected as the first target. It doesn't necessarily make it the best target on the property, but it's certainly a tier one exploration target and a very, very viable target. And so, you know, as I mentioned, you've got 20-kilometer long soil anomaly. You have peak values of 0.73% copper in soil, which is, as far as copper in soil, it's astronomical. And you have bedrock showing that's, massive bornite and the right material to host something that builds tonnage like they have at Kansanshi. There's also a couple of other strange things. There are vegetation kill zones along that entire 20-kilometer stretch. That is something that was seen at Komoakakula when they first made the discovery. Those are a really unique pathfinder to having a large sulfide system at depth. And, you know, it's one of these things where if there's enough smoke, there's got to be a fire there somewhere. And there certainly was a lot of arrows pointing at Dumbwa as being a really, really highly prospective spot to go and see if there's a big system underneath. So that's why Dumbwa was chosen. But Kaziba, Crunch, Me Too have a vast potential and certainly deserve a similar type of work program to what we're doing at Dumbwa on their own to see what they have as well. And we're one of the only groups in the area that has we have multiple domes, which are the geological structure that seems to dictate where these big billion ton copper deposits form. We have multiple domes on our property and we have multiple opportunities to find billion ton copper deposits. So we need to get out there and attack them.
Adrian, so with that, you've got Cobalt progressing once this closes up. How do you see the in-house progress go with respect to testing some of these other targets? Do you see that this is going to happen in parallel, maybe kicking off this year? Or do you think that's something where you guys are going to wait and see a little bit, get some more money in the door before you do the in-house work?
We need to get some more money in the door. There's no shortage of interest. We still have interest from other parties in working with us on some of these other targets. So that's something that we're continuing to explore. I think the immediate goal, as I mentioned, is that oxide drill program. As soon as we get financing completed here, we're going to put a program together and go and drill off the oxide resource. And then we can start looking at those other targets and really making a decision on whether we do them independently or whether we do them with another partner and have multiple earn-ins, multiple JVs across our property. In terms of the timeline, it's going to be in parallel in the sense that, you know, we look at it like Dumbwa is now, we've solved the Dumbwa piece. We have that moving forward. We have the most competent group on the planet working on it. And now that can run. That's going to be, you know, nice, consistent news flow, hopefully exciting news, and they have lots of success out there. We get to have that piece moving forward. And in conjunction with that, and dovetailing all of these pieces together, we can go out and raise money and attack these other projects and really just keep the thing moving. And in a perfect world, Andrew, what I'd like to see is I'd like to see programs on two or three or all four of the targets at the same time. Why not get the whole thing moving and create as much excitement around this as we can and have as many opportunities for our shareholders to reap the benefit of this big project? And it's difficult to do when you've got 500 square kilometers to explore. But if we're systematic and we're careful and we're thoughtful about how we put this together, I think we can create a really exciting play.
With the interest so far showing up here, do you see that the company is continuing to be open, subject to terms, open to taking on another earn-in joint venture partner?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're definitely open to it. And there are groups around right now. There's no shortage of interest that came over the last 12 months. Multiple groups, different types of offers and ideas. We're totally open to it, and we're going to continue with all the conversations that we have and see where those go. But if the financing is there to move this ahead, I think the ultimate is to be able to do the other three on our own. You know, that's really the biggest upside. And why this is so attractive is how often do you have, you know, typically a company has a target or a particular thing they're going after, and they might bring a group like Cobalt in and they get to work with them and see this move forward. But that's the shot, right? That's the company, that opportunity is the company maker opportunity. We've got four of those. And we only did a deal on one of the four that, you know, allows us to retain a 25% interest in something that is, if it's a billion ton copper deposit and you have 25% of it, that is nothing to sneeze at. That's phenomenal and a really great deal for our shareholders. And so, you know, all of that remains to be seen with the success level that Cobalt may or may not have. But I think we feel pretty confident in what they're going to do. But we've left a huge amount of blue sky in the equation for our shareholders. And that was really important to our team. And I think we've put a deal together that gives us the best opportunity possible and really, you know, gives everybody a really good chance to see success in multiple areas.
So we've added some more audience since we last talked, Adrian, about this, but why don't you just refresh them, some of the existing audience plus the new audience, as far as where we stand today on capital structure. Things haven't changed that much, but to remind and give the new audience a flavor, talk about where we are with shares outstanding at the company, major shareholders, and then, of course, we know that there's a financing coming at some point in the future.
So where we sit today, middle of January was the last time we did a tabulation. Nothing has changed since then. We have about 118 million shares out. This company has been around for 12 years. So this is not a new company. And I think when you take into account the amount of time this company has been here and been working, the share structure is actually really impressive. They've kept this very tight. They've really managed the share structure and been really careful about what, you know, what happens on that front. 118 million shares outstanding. That comes with around 10 million warrants at exercising of different prices over the next little while. And, you know, share price coming off the news with the markets we're in today, I'm not surprised that the response has been, you know, an increase in volume, but share price is kind of hanging in there. And we have been kind of hanging in there between, let's call it 25 and 30 cents. Stock trades in that range. It kind of stays in that range. And we do have a couple of big shareholders here in Vancouver that control about 50 million shares of that 118. And then management are probably another 12% or so. So, I mean, it's relatively tightly held, and the share structure has really retained, you know, stayed intact all the way along here. So now we want to make sure that we are diligent and careful about where we price our next financing. We know we need to raise money. That is a foregone conclusion. So we are going to be raising money and doing it in the best way possible. So, you know, it's a good share structure for a company of this, you know, this duration. It is downright impressive share structure.
Appreciate you covering that. And we'll be looking forward to seeing what the upcoming financing is when you guys finally get there. And once this deal is closed up with Cobalt as well. Just on Zambia for a moment, again, some of the new audience of flavor for Zambia here. Zambia is certainly important for a couple majors in the sector. You know, Barrick, First Quantum are certainly there.
Yeah.
Talk about that for a moment in terms of just the appetite in the country for copper exploration, the importance for copper in Zambia in terms of it is important for Zambia, and it's been a good copper jurisdiction generally over the years. It's become increasingly important to First Quantum, given some First Quantum problems elsewhere. Just talk about how Zambia views the mining sector, community acceptance, ease of doing business there, because obviously it's a key part of their economy. And matter of fact, it's a huge driver, very important to the wealth of that country and its development. But just talk about the overall atmosphere in Zambia for copper.
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, let's talk about Zambia itself. It is a completely mining-centric place. Okay, this is the mining-centric country. They are supportive of mining. They have a proper mining act in place. You know, give it context. 75% of their export earnings are copper, and they're well aware of how important this is. And so they're doing what they can to bolster the copper exploration and mining industry. And it is what I would refer to as an easy place to work. It's not difficult. You know, you do have different bureaucratic processes in terms of getting things done, but by and large, it is a very easy place to work. It's mining friendly, and there's a reason why all of these majors are finding their way there. And I mean, you talk about the areas in the world where you see a real concentration of major mining companies. I mean, you have First Quantum. First Quantum's flagship operation, which is Kansanshi, is right beside us, 6 kilometers from our boundary of our property. So First Quantum is there. They have 2 mines in the area that are both 1 billion tons. You have Barrick. You have Rio Tinto is in the area. And you have Anglo American a little further off to the west. Anglo is working on something in the Kalahari Sands. You know, of course, then you have Ivanhoe. You have China Molybdenum, who purchased Tenke. Tenke sits right above us. They purchased Tenke a couple of years ago for around $4 billion. A real concentration of major mining companies. The reason they're in this area is what I was speaking to kind of near the beginning of the interview, and that is one of the few places in the world where the measure, you know, the beginning point here is these are billion-ton deposits. The prize is big, right? You're looking for something that has serious scale and grade and opportunity to move into production. Now, some of those deposits I'm talking about, Ivanhoe's Kamoa-Kakula and China molybdenum's Tenke, you're actually in the DRC to the north of us. So that's a much less appealing jurisdiction or location to be, despite how great those deposits are. And when you look at where Barrick, First Quantum, ourselves, now Cobold, Anglo are working, that's in Zambia itself, and it's a super easy jurisdiction. So it's not hard to see why those companies are coming into the area, and why Cobold has decided that this is the place to be. And then when you look at First Quantum, I mean, certainly I don't want to speak out of turn, but if you look at what's going on with their assets, Cobre de Panama, and the difficulties there, obviously they're throwing their focus back into Kansanshi. These are all world-class deposits and world-class mines run by the biggest operators in the world. So you have a renewed focus in Kansanshi. It's already their flagship operation. It's a top copper producer in all of Africa. And these are the top copper producers in Zambia. And then you have another situation unfolding, which is Barrick becoming a major copper producer. And Mark Bristow has a vision for Barrick. He's a brilliant guy. He has a vision. He's going for it. And Zambia is ground zero. So he wants this to be the area that they focus. They want Lumwana to be their flagship, and it is their flagship today. And so you have to look at this area and you think, okay, if Barrick really wants to develop this into the hotbed of or the center of their copper production world, then regional consolidation seems like an obvious thing to me. And I'm not going to be surprised at all if that's the direction it goes. And there's certainly lots of rumblings and some strategic moves that have already taken place that indicate that that's a future for the camp. But it remains to be seen. And for us, what we want to do is get out there and do as much work as we can and show the potential upside for this property and the different targets we have, and to make this as appealing a target for any part of that as it can be. There's no question in our mind that at the end of the day, we are the critical piece of future production for this camp. And so anybody that's eyeballing future production across an entire region or regional consolidation in any sense, they're going to be looking at the Midnight Sun property as the heart of that.
Certainly a jurisdiction that people need to look at. It's for African jurisdictions, it hasn't been too bad, and it definitely is among the better ones in Africa for folks to look at. So, and I think that is backstopped by what Barrick is doing there, what First Quantum is doing there, and some of the other players that are there. Increased interest, not a lot of options on the junior side, which is can be quite good if you can have some success. Well, Adrian, thanks for the update and time. Let's leave it there for now. And for potential investors who are listening in, the company has a market capitalization of about 29 million Canadian dollars. Why should Midnight Sun Mining be considered within the institutional family office and retail investors portfolio at this stage, given the news?
Yeah, I think there's very few copper companies that are operating in a jurisdiction like this. As I mentioned, the Domes region of Zambia is one of the only places in the world where you're looking at billion ton copper deposits as a primary target. And so, it's not to say there's not billion ton copper deposits in other parts of the world, but to be surrounded by five of them is pretty unique. So we're in an area that, there are five major operators around us. We're really, from a closeology perspective, it doesn't get any better. But we have the backing, and now we have the stamp of approval of one of the most forward-thinking groups on the mining scene today, which is Cobold Metals, backed by Silicon Valley giants. And these guys are bleeding edge. I think they're going to take the mining industry to new horizons. To be perfectly blunt, kind of throwing my weight behind what Cobold is doing. I think they're doing something unique. They're not the only company that is utilizing this kind of technology, but they're utilizing technology that is ultra advanced, proprietary, and designed to move projects forward much, much more quickly than we've ever seen in the past. And I think that's a problem that has hamstrung the mining industry for a long time. And I'm excited to not only see companies that are forward-thinking and moving us to those horizons, but to be partnered with them is a pretty incredible thing. And so, you're going to have an aggressive exploration program underway. You're going to have the next 4.5 years is going to be exciting for us. We're going to be developing this target at Dumbwa and lots of blue sky on our other properties that we're going to be moving forward as well. And then a near-term mining opportunity that we're exploring with our oxide resource on our property that we're working on and going to try to develop. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of upside here in one of the top places in the world to be looking at copper today. And if you're not familiar with what copper faces in the near term in terms of demand and in terms of current copper output across the world, it's something you need to get up to speed on very quickly. There is going to be a demand set for copper that has not kicked in yet. It's going to be another 18 months before we really see the effects of that. And the world is clamoring for copper and new sources and things that can be moved into production very, very quickly. And so if you look at something like we're working on, surrounded by operating mines, we don't need to wave our arms and say we're going to build a mine and it's going to be 10 years down the road. These can satisfy copper feed for other mines in the area and can be moved forward very, very quickly if we're successful. So that's pretty groundbreaking opportunities, I think, as far as juniors go. I think this is starting to build up into a story that's really pretty incredible and you know, fully believing in the copper shortage that lies ahead. And that is why you're seeing companies like Cobalt, backed by Silicon Valley giants, getting into the mining space. They see it firsthand. They know what electrification is doing, and they want to be a part of the mining equation as well.
Thank you for that. Well said. Certainly, I think you have a couple more mine shutdowns that were unexpected, as well as a few depletions here, Adrian. I think we've got a serious problem that's just only worse than what was expected. And we've certainly seen some surprises in this sector over the last, call it, year or so. Best way for investors to contact the company?
The easiest thing in the world is to either email me. It's Adrian, A-D-R-I-A-N, at midnightsunmining.com. That is by far the easiest thing. And you can also call me directly. I'm always happy to take a call at 604-809-6890. So either one of those avenues will get you in touch with me directly. And I'm happy to chat with anybody anytime.
Adrian, that's great. Thanks again for coming on to give us an update. We'll be back in touch.
Excellent. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it greatly.